Today's shiur is Masech Tabav Mitzia Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, 6 lines from the top. We learned in the Mishnah Im Yesh Edim Shetavai, even though we learned in the Mishnah and we discussed in the previous shiur that the halacha is that if an employee says that the employer didn't pay him, if it's before the time that the wages are due, we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Nishba V'Noitel, the employee makes a shvur that he wasn't paid and he collects his wages. The Mishnah teaches us, Im Yesh Edim Shetavai, if there are Edim that he swore, that he asked for his wages, Hareza Nishba V'Noitel. Then the halacha is that he is able to collect his wages. Ask the Gemara, but cover the Kamon. Ask the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean to say that we gain, or it's different, because he has Edom? And if he doesn't have Edom, he's requesting his wages. So what's the difference if there are Edom or not? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi, the Mishnah is referring to a situation shetavoi bezmanoi, that the simple way of learning is that the Edom that we just explained in our introductory remarks, that even though the employee is only believed and then makes a shvur until the due time for the wages, teaches us our Mishnah that if he has Edom that he requested those wages, even if it's past the time when those wages were due, the halacha is that the employee will be nishba v'noitel. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand shetavoi bezmanoi? The simple way of understanding it is that it was that the wages were requested when they were due. Asked the Gemara for Dimel Abasa Hachipara. Yes, he asked for the wages, and he has even Edom that he asked for those wages when they were due, but maybe they were paid afterwards. And as we learned in the previous shiur, we have a chazaka that the employer will pay the wages once they're due. Answers the Gemara, Amrabayish Tovei Kolzmanoi. The simple way of explaining the Gemara is at the time the wages were due, the employer refused to pay those wages, and therefore the halacha is that at this point the Edom will be neman and the employer is not assumed to have paid. Another pshat in the Rishonim is that the employee brought Edom constantly. It wasn't a one-time event that he brought Edom exactly at the moment when the wages were due. He keeps on bringing Edom to request the wages and the employer doesn't give them. Ask the Gemara, Ola Olam, if by saying that he brought Edom, that's why the employee is Neman, is that going to remain the case forever? Will he now be believed forever that he didn't get paid? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chama Bar Okva Keneged Oisah Hayoyim Shotfiyah. He's believed for another day. And here too we have a Machlokes Rishonim how to learn the Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara that for one day after the normal day that he should have been paid, we still apply the halacha that the worker swears and collects his wages. Other Rishonim explained the Gemara that as long as there are days, for every day past the due date that he brought Edom and he didn't pay, the employer didn't pay, the employee is Neman one further day, until there will be one day of a lapse. Once there is one day of lapse, then the employee is no longer Neman. What is the point, explained those Rishonim, of a one-day lapse? The point of the one-day lapse shows us that just like the employee might have missed the day, and at that, so too, there might have been a time that the employer paid and he's not, and therefore he doesn't have the din of Nishba V'Noitel will no longer apply. However, the Rishonim do point out that even after the time where Adam, where at the point where the employer is Neman, he still will have to make a Shvua when he says that he paid, and that's why he won't have to pay. We won't just believe him by him saying that he paid. The Rishonim, Rashi, and Tosfos also point out that we learned in the previous year that the reason the employer is Neman is because he has two chazakas. One chazaka is that he won't be over the Aveira about Tolim, and the other is that a chazaka that a person pays the, that the way, that the employee won't let him get away without paying the wages. Ask the Rishonim, this individual who certainly, this employer who certainly allowed the due time of paying the wages to pass, was Oiva Baltolin. So he doesn't have the two chazakas that we learned in the previous year. So why is he still Neman? So some Rishonim answer that even though he won't be over, he already was over the Aveira Baltolin, but he doesn't want to be over that other Aveira we've learned at the beginning of the Sugya about Tasha. And therefore, we still have two chazakas in favor of the employer. Another pshat is that it just at a certain point he's going to pay the wages, and therefore we assume that he paid it unless we have an edim that he did not. We begin now Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach a new sugya. The Torah HaKadosh teaches us Kisash Bereacha Mashis Mu'uma, that if somebody wants to collect from someone else a debt, he has no right to go to his house to demand security. Rather, bechutz tamoid, the malva should stand outside. The Torah teaches us that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva to collect the mashkin. The Torah goes on to say, vim ish anihu lo sishkoi ba'avoytoi, Hashiv Tashiv Lo Yis Avoid Kiva Hashemes V'Shachiv B'Salmosoi V'Rechecho L'Cha Tiet Stok L'Fnei Hashem L'Kecha. The Torah goes on to teach us that if you take the mashkin in the permissible way, still you should be careful that if you took a mashkin that is something that the loiv needs, you should return it to him as when he needs it. If it's some, as we're going to learn, if it's something that he needs by day, return it to him every day. If it's something that he needs at night, return it to him every night. As the Rishonim explain, and as becomes evident in our Gemara, there are a number of types of mashkin. The typical case of a mashkin is a security which is taken at the time of the loan. That, the Rishonim say, is not the mashkin that we're speaking about. Rather, the mashkin that the Pasuk and the Mishnah and the Gemara are speaking about is if the time for the loan to be paid comes and the loiva doesn't pay the malva, at that point the malva goes to the loiva and requests the mashkin, and it's to that mashkin that the Torah teaches us the halachas that the malva is not allowed to go to the loiva's home and that he has to return the mashkin that the loiva needs to use. Furthermore, says Rebbeinu Tam, if the purpose of taking the mashkin is to pay off the loan that's due, that is also not what is the discussion of the pasuk. Then these dinim will not apply. Rather, we're referring specifically to a situation where he's taking security because the loan wasn't paid in a timely fashion. And the Rishonim debate, what is the reason for this halacha? Even though, as we're going to learn the sugyas, as we get into the sugyas, that typically loy darshin and tam dekra, we don't try to understand the reasons for why the Torah gives us mitzvahs, we have to follow what it says. Here there are halachic ramifications, there are questions that need to be answered, and the question to those answers lay in the reason for this din. Some explain, it's for the benefit of society that the malva should not be able to pressure the loiva to a great extent, therefore the Torah says, don't enter his home. Others say, there is a concern that if the malva will go into the loiva's home, he'll see the best items that the loiva owns, and he'll choose those items that are particularly precious to the loiva to seize as the mashkin. Another pshat is that the Torah was concerned for the family of the loiva. Bad enough that unfortunately the loiva can't afford to pay his debts, but even they're going to go into his home and seize items, very stressful to the family of the loiva, and therefore the Torah says that the halacha is don't go into his home. What are the nafkaminas between these pshatim? The Ramah paskins that one is not allowed to go into the home of the loiva just to take an inventory of what the loiva has, not actually to seize what the loiva takes. And the reasoning is very obvious, because we see here, because it causes distress, it causes the society breakdown. However, what would be the halacha if the loiva gives the malva permission to enter his home? Or what would be the halacha if when the loan was taken, it was written into the shtar halva that the loiva waives this right, and that if he doesn't pay the halva in the proper time, the malva may go into the home and seize mashkin? If the pshat is because we're concerned about the loiva, then the loiva waived his rights. If we're concerned about society, if we're concerned about the loiva's family, then it shouldn't make a difference. Another nafkamin I saw is what will be the halacha if the loiva doesn't go, but the loiva sends a shliach to go. So will the same halacha apply? Again, based on the different reasonings, there will be different halacha. The Gemara will also teach us, the Rishonim and the halacha is, that this halacha specifically applies when there's a debt due. This din doesn't apply when wages are due. This din doesn't apply for a guarantor. Strictly between a malva and a loiva. The Rishonim also go on to ask that the Gemara says, in Masechet Ksuba, in Masechet Baba Kama rather, of an inish dinah lenafshei, that sometimes a person is allowed to take the law into his own hand. So the question here, where the loiva is refusing to pay the malva, why is this not a situation of Ovid Inish Dina Lanafshe, and he should be able to enter the malva's home? So the Mefarshim explained that Ovid Inish Dina Lanafshe is only to seize something that belongs to me. Here I'm not coming to seize this particular item that belongs to me, particularly if we follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that I'm not here to collect the payment that's due to me. I'm just here to collect security. So it's not a situation of Ovid Inish Dinah Nafshei, that I'm getting something that I'm going to keep that belongs to me. And therefore, the din of Ovid Inish Dinah Nafshei doesn't apply. At the same reason, the Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim asked, that the Gemara says in Masechet Ksubis, that Prius Bal Chayiv is a mitzvah. That a Bal Chayiv has the obligation to pay his debts. So why are we just concerned about the loiva and therefore don't allow the malva to enter the loiva's home? Why are we not concerned that the loiva has an obligation to pay his debt that he isn't paying, and that should give the malva the right to enter? Again, as we are explaining, we now understand that we're not collecting actual payment, where we can argue we're trying to have the loiva be kind the mitzvah, a priest bal choiv mitzvah. Rather, it's just collecting security. Therefore, the concept that we should try to get the loiva to fulfill that mitzvah wouldn't apply. So teaches us the Mishnah, Hamavas chaveroi, If somebody lends money to someone else and he wants to now collect security after the due date, the halacha is lo yimashkemenu el bebezdin. He only has the right to take the security through a shliach bezdin. Vlo yikonis lebeis olitol mashkanoi. He's not allowed to go into his home to get the mashkin, as we will learn soon in the Gemara. Certainly, the malva may not go into his home, but according to Shmuel's opinion, even the shliach bezdin, who is allowed to collect this mashkin, is not allowed to go into the home of the loiva. Shenemar b'chutz tamid, stand outdoors. And the Rishash explains that the halacha is strictly that one may not go into the home of the malva. But let's say he has a beishar, or he has a garage, not a chotzer, there the halacha is that he may enter the home of the malva. If the loiva has two kelim, the malva may take one and leave one. And here we have two pshatim in the Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that the Mishnah is teaching us that if he has two identical kelim, he should leave one and keep one. He should leave one with the loiva, and the malva might take one. And then Rishonim, the Mefarshim, ask, why do I need to say this then? Isn't it obvious? If the loiva has two kelim, so he'll have one to use and one to keep. Why do I have to say this halacha? So the Rishash answers, as we're going to learn in Al-Gemara draws a lot of comparisons between our halachas and the halachas of Erechin, where the Gemara is going to teach us that if somebody obligates himself to his Erech, or the Erech of someone else, and then we have to evaluate if he's able to pay it. And the Mishnah teaches us there in Masech the Erechin that when part of evaluation is we leave a worker the kalim that he needs to do his job. And the Mishnah teaches us, the Gemara teaches us there, that if he needs two kelim, two of the same kelim to do his job, we leave it. Teaches us our Mishnah, that's a din by Erechin, not over here. But the other way of learning the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is talking about two kelim that are not the same type of kelim. And the Mishnah is teaching us that you have these two kelim. One is a keli that's used by day, and one is a keli that is used by night, and therefore machzer as a kar b'layla, we give him back his linen by night, because at night he needs the linen to sleep on, and we give him back his plow by day. The Rishonim ask, we're going to learn in the Gemara and Amud Beis that kelim that are used for oichel nefesh are never allowed to be taken. So isn't a machresha a keli that's used for oichel nefesh? How are we allowed to take it? So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is that the loiva himself in our Mishnah volunteered the machresha. The halacha that you're not allowed to take a keli of oichel nefesh is that you're not allowed to take it. But if the loiva offers it, it's fine. Another way of understanding the Mishnah is that a machresha is not considered a keli of oichel nefesh because it doesn't actually prepare the food. It's only used to plow property which ultimately will produce food. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn later in the Ashir, that the machresha meant here is not a plow. Rather, the machresha meant here is a scraper that they used to use when they wash themselves in the bathhouse. And that's certainly not a keli of oichel nefesh. V'meis, and if the loiva dies, ein machzel yarshav, he doesn't have to return these kelim to the yarshim. And as the Gemara will point out and the Rishonim point out, this line is a crucial line in the Mishnah, because if we begin to try to understand this halacha that whatever you take, you know how to go into the house to take. Whatever you take, if he needs it by day, you have to return by day. If he needs it by night, you have to return it by night. At a certain point, we start to think to ourselves, what is the point of taking if you have to go through all of this hassle? The answer is that normally, as we've learned so many times, if a Baal Choyv passes away, his estate, only the real estate that he left over is obligated to be used to pay off his debts, not the metaltlin. Here, he'll have a right even to collect from metaltlin. It's one pshat. Another thing is, we know that Shemitah cancels all loans. But this mashkin, once it's in the category of a mashkin, the loan will not be cancelled. Rav Shimon Gamliel continues, the Mishnah teaches us, Af lematzmai ena machsa elat shleishim yoyim. Even the loiva, the malva only has to return it to the loiva up to 30 days. Mishoyishim yoyim malahalan. However, after 30 days, if going through this, Taloch is Meichrim Bebezdin, he's allowed to sell the mashkin, he's allowed to sell the mashkin under the authority of Bezdin. Interesting, Machloikus Rishonim. We've been discussing a mashkin that's taken after the due date. But what will be the halacha debate, the Rishonim, where somebody got a mashkin at the time of the loan? He got security at the time of the loan. And now the time for paying the loan comes, and the loiva doesn't pay. May the malva immediately sell the mashkin, or does he have to wait 30 days? So Machlokes Rishonim, the Rambam says you could sell it immediately, other Rishonim say you have to wait 30 days. Amr Shmuel, so says Shmuel, Shliach Bezdin, a Shliach Bezdin that is allowed to take the mashkin, says Shmuel, Menatchin Netuchei In, he could take a mashkin from the loiva in the street, Ava Mashkuni Loi, but he's not allowed to enter his home. Vatnan asked the Gemara, Hamavas Chaveroi Loi Mashkimenu Elbebezdin. Amish began with the words that the Malva can't go in, but the Shlich Bezdin may go in. Mechlal de Bezdin Mashkinen. It's only that the Malva may not go to the home of the Loiva, but the Shlich Bezdin may. Amar Shmuel explains, Shmuel, the way to understand the Mishnah, Lo Yenatchenu Elbebezdin. That means no one, not the Malva nor the Shliach Bezdin, may enter the home of the Loiva to get the Mashkin. However, the Malva may not even take the Mashkin from the Shliach Bezdin, from the Loiva in the street. The Shliach Bezdin may take it from him in the street. And the Rishonim debate why, according to Shmuel's opinion, is there a nafkamina between the Shliach Bezdin and the Malva? Some Rishonim suggest that Shmuel agrees that the Shliach Bezdin's Isser to go into the home is only an Isser the Rabbanon, and therefore the Malva that has an Isser the Raisa, we extend the Isser the Raisa even to the street. However, the Shliach Bezdin, where it's only the Rabbanon, we don't extend to the street. That's easiest pshat. Another pshat is that the chiyuv, that Shmuel will agree that there's an issa deraisa for the Shliach Bezdin, but the issa deraisa of the Shliach Bezdin is only an issa asay, whereas the issa by the malva himself is only an issa lav, and that's why we're stricter with the malva than we are with the Shliach Bezdin. Says the Gemara, Hachnam Mestabra, the opinion of Shmuel regarding that the Shliach Bezdin may not enter the home of the Loiva seems to be a reasonable pshat. The Ksani Sefer, because let's continue learning what we learned in the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Lo Yikonis Lebeitzoi Litl Mashkonai. The Mishnah continued saying that you might not allowed to go into his home to get the Mashkin. Mani. Ask the Gemara, who are we talking about? If it's talking about the Malva, says the Gemara, the beginning of the Mishnah already taught us that the Malva may not enter the home of the Loiva to get the Mashkin. Elalav, who is the Mishnah talking to? The Shliach Bezdin. And even the Shliach Bezdin may not enter the home of the Loiva to get the Mashkin. So we have a raya to Shmuel's opinion. Says the Gemara, Imishim Halayiriyah. That's not a raya, because Hachikama,
Hamavas chaveroi, if somebody lends something to somebody else, lo yimishkemena el bezdin, means you're not allowed to go into the house. Mechlal, the bezdin mashkinim, the shlich bezdin may go in. Ubal choiv, and the bal choiv himself, afilin netuchin namiloi, he may not even take a mashkin in the street, because since he has an issa deraisa to go into the house, we're concerned. If we allow him to take a mashkin in the street, he may end up going into the home. But it could well be that the shlich bezdin may even go in to the home itself. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara on Shmuel's opinion. Masiv Rav Yosef. The pasuk says, "Loi yachbol rechaim v'rechav." He's not going to take this millstone, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shiur. There's two parts to the millstone. There's the upper part, and that's the rechaim, the movable part, and the rechav is the bottom part. Hadvar macherim, that it seems that he is allowed to take other things. For the pasuk says, Halosachba beged almana. You're not allowed to take the beged of an almana. Hashal cherim tachbo. That means only from an almana you're not allowed to take this mashkin. From other people you may. Man. Now, who is the Torah implying you're allowed to take, may take, from others besides the almana? Ilem bal choiv. If we're going to suggest that the bal choiv is allowed to take it, haksif. But didn't we begin this sugya with quoting the pasuk that says explicitly that the malva may never enter the home of the loiva to take a mashkin? Elav, this pasuk must be speaking to the shlich bezdin and saying that amana's beged may not be taken. Everything else, the shlich bezdin may take. Clearly refuting Shmuel's opinion that says that even a shlich bezdin may not go in. Answers the Gemara. Tirmer a papa raider of Nachman Kamed Rav Yosef. Ramer a papa raider of Yosef Kamed Rav Yosef. Loilam about Chayv. We could say that both Pesukim are talking about the Malva. Well, Lava, Labashne Lavim, the Torah is teaching us that you're over two Lavin if you go in. But the Shlich Bezdin may be, but the Shlich Bezdin also may not. Tirashma, the Pesuk says, the Brisa says, Mimasha Shanema, the pasuk says that he should stand outside. So if the pasuk says that the malva has to stand outside, so why does the pasuk have to continue that the loiva should bring out the mashna pasuk to take out the mashkin? If the pasuk says that the malva has to stand outside, any day, isn't it obvious that the loiva is going to carry out the mashkin? And Maltam Alam V'ish, what is the Torah teaching us with this word? The Rabbi Shlich Bezdin. To teach us something regarding the Shlich Bezdin. And assumes the Braisa, assumes the Gemara, the Maila Shlich Bezdin Kaloiva. That we're going to treat the Shlich Bezdin just like we treat the Loiva. And just like the Loiva certainly is allowed to go into his home, so too may the Shlich Bezdin. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand it. Rather, Shlich Bezdin is treated like the Malva. And just like the Malva may not enter the home of the Loiva, so may not the Shlich Bezdin. Tashma. So Gemara again tries to ask on Shmuel's opinion. The Pasuk says, Imchabol Tachboil Samus Reyecha. B'Shlich Bezdin Akos B'Daber. The Pasuk is teaching us that the Shlich Bezdin may not take a mashkin. At the oim v'shlich bezdin akos medaber, are you certain that the pasuk is talking about a shlich bezdin? Or ain el b'bal choyf? Maybe the Torah is speaking to the bal choyf. Kshoimer l'save el beis or laver avoytoy. When the Torah speaks to the malva and tells him that he may not enter the home of the loiva, hare bal choyf omer. So we already know that the malva can't enter. Hamani mekayim in chabal tachbal salmos reyecha. How do we explain that pasuk? Because it teaches us b'shlich bezdin akos medaber. So it clearly teaches us that the malva can't go in, but the shlich bezdin can go in. A question on Shmuel's opinion. Says the Gemara that Shmuel's going to have to agree that Tanoyi. that this question of a shliach bezdin could go into the mouth of his home, to the life of his home, is actually a machloikas tanon. The Tanya, shliach bezdin shabal mashkenai. If the shliach bezdin is coming to collect the mashken, lo yikonis lebeis lemashkenai, he may not enter the home of the loiva. He has to stand outdoors. The loiva brings him out the mashken. Shnema bechutz tamid v'ish. Tanyidach. But yet there's another brisa. B'choy shabal mashkenai. If the malva wants to collect the mashken, lo yikonis lebeis lemashkenai, he may then enter the home of the loiva. Aloyim bechutz, he stands outdoors. V'alo nichnas amotz lemashkenai. And the loiva brings him out the mashken. Shnam b'chutz tamid. Or shlich bezdin shabal mashkenai. But if it's a shlich bezdin that's coming to collect the mashken, hareza nichnas lebeis lemashkenai, he may enter the home of the loiva. However, he's not going to take things that the loiva needs for his basic livelihood, which we'll discuss later what is included in this group. So we see that this question is a machlokes tanog if the shliach bezdin is allowed to enter the home of the loiva. Continues the braisa, v'nis mita umita umatzel asher. We leave two beds and a felt spread for a wealthy person, mito mita, and two beds, or mappets. This is a mat bed for a poor person. Loi, what's left over is strictly for the what the loiva needs. Avloi leishtoi vloi lebarav lebnoisof. Now what he needs for the rest of his family. And the Rishonim discuss that doesn't a husband have an obligation that he undertook with his ksuba to support his wife and family? So why shouldn't that obligation give him the right to take, to let the family take what they need? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that that obligation is only an obligation with rabbonim, whereas the obligation of a loiva to pay the malva is an obligation with the raisa, and therefore the raisa of the obligation supersedes the rabbonim the obligation. But then I saw another pshat. Even it will suggest that this obligation is a raisa of the obligation, because the husband undertook it, and it's very likely that that obligation was undertaken before the obligation of the loan, because the obligation to support the family comes at the time of the marriage. Still, explain the poskim how to understand that obligation, the obligation to support a family. It's not to be understood that at the moment of the marriage there's an obligation which begins and remains forever. Rather, the way it is to be understood is that there's a new obligation every day. That means every day we have an obligation to support our wives. But yesterday, today's obligation is today's obligation, and tomorrow's obligation is tomorrow's obligation. Therefore, it's very well understood. The husband has an obligation to support his wife. That's today's obligation. Once he gave his wife support today, he doesn't have yet tomorrow's obligation. But his obligation to pay his loan is here, and therefore that obligation comes first. Continues the Braisa, Kederach Shemesadr Labachoyf, just like we make an assessment for a loiva to leave him what he needs to live on, Kach Mesadrin Be'erchin. So too do we do Be'erchin. Ask the Gemara, Klapalaya, it's just the opposite. Ikesid Be'erchin Ksif. As we mentioned briefly when we learned the Mishnah, the Torah speaks about, in Parashat B'chukosai, speaks about erchin. That means every person, based on his age and his gender, has a certain erich, has a certain value that the Torah assesses to him. And therefore, if somebody says erich olai, well, he doesn't have to say erchi. He could say the erich of someone else olai. He has to give that erich. However, the Torah discusses v'machu me'erkecha, that let's say somebody takes on this obligation, but he doesn't have the ability to pay. The Torah says that you should take him the midah lefnei akoyin, he should be brought to the koyin, v'heruch oisei akoyin. And the koyin evaluates what his abilities to pay are or aren't. And the Torah makes, and the koyin makes an evaluation what this individual needs to live. That's the concept of sidur, and that's left for the individual. And the rest is given to pay off his erech. Furthermore, as we will see, the din by erechin is that if the person undertook a certain erech and he can't afford to pay it, but he does make a payment, even if afterwards, Baruch Hashem, he does have the means to pay that erech, he doesn't have to pay the remainder. So Gemara's question is, we're saying that just like we have this concept that we try to leave for the loiver what he needs, so do we do by Erechin? Ask the Gemara just the opposite. If the Siddur Erechin Ksiv, this entire concept of Siddur is a concept that's introduced by Erechin. Elaim, rather amend the Brice to say, Kederech Shemsad Be'erechin, just like we find that the Torah gives us this concept of Siddur Be'erechin, so too, Kach Mesadrin Bal Choyv, so too will be the Halacha by a Bal Choyv. Amamar, so now the Gemara goes further in addressing this Brisa. We learned nice mito mito matzal asher. We leave two beds and the good linen for a wealthy loiva. Mito mito mapitzlani, two beds and poor quality linen for a poor person. Ask the Gemara man, why do we need to leave him two beds? Ilemel ishter lebana lebnoisav for his whole family, hamrit. Then we just learned the Brisa, loy. We only leave over what the loyver needs. Av loy li ishtoi banav noisav, not what his family needs. El idil of the day. We leave over both beds for the loyver himself. Ask the Gemara, tarta lomeli, why does the loyver need two beds? Answers the Gemara, chada da achola. One bed is the bed that he eats on. They used to eat reclining. And one bed, chada da zogala, is the bed that he sleeps on. To the Shmuel, as Shmuel taught us, and Shmuel was a doctor, and therefore he was able to say these things. Dama Shmuel, kol mili yidana sasayu. I know the remedy for all types of diseases. Ba mahani tlas, man da ochal ahini marira. Somebody eats a bitter date, a libra kara on an empty stomach. Or man da osim misna, the kitna. Somebody puts on a rope made out of moist flax, a chartzei around his hips, man da ochel nahama, and somebody eats bread, v'loy mazga argamidi, and he doesn't walk 4 amis after eating. And therefore, it was so important to walk after eating that they had two beds, one bed where they ate, and one bed that they slept, and those two beds were separated at least by dalet amos, to guarantee that a person should take this minimal walk after eating. Tana Tanaka made Rav Nachman, Kederech Shesadrin Be'erchin, just like the Zalocha de Be'erchin, we make the assessment of what the person who said Erech Yolai says the Erech needs to live, so too, Kach Masadrin Balchoyf. Ask the Gemara, Omalei, Hashtas of Nunim is of Ninalei, if the halacha is that we sell the loiver's possessions, Sidum is Adrinalei, are we going to make this evaluation? Ask the Gemara, Mim is of Ninalei, is it true that we sell the items belonging to the loiver? For Tanamba, we learned in our Mishnah, the Machs is a Kabbalayla, every night we have to return his linen, Vasmachrish B'yoyim, every day we have to return his plow. Answers the Gemara, Tanak Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Tanak Hamei. This conversation was going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Vach Kamalei. And this is the way to understand. Hashtal Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We learned the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel at the end of our Mishnah. That after 30 days of holding on to the Mashkin, Zavuni Mazab Ninalei, we sell it. So now the question is, if we're going to be allowed to sell the item, Sidurim Sadrinalei, then do we try to figure out what he's allowed to keep? The Tanan, because we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Af La'atzmai Ena Machzer, we only return to the loiver these Mashkin, Al At Shloshin Yom, up to 30 days. Mekan Ve'elach, after 30 days, Marcham Abezdin. Says the Gemara, "Why the kikamer of Shimon Gamliel Zabuni? Why, when we say Rav Shimon Gamliel says that he's allowed to sell it, legamri kamer, does he mean that he's allowed to sell it entirely? Demahacha kamer. Maybe the way I understand Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is as follows: At shloshim yoim, until 30 days, hadalei be'enei, we give him back the mashkin as it is. Bikam ve'elach, after 30 days, mahada le madachazalei." We return to him what he needs according to his status, and we sell something that's more expensive than what he needs. We'll sell, buy a less expensive item, give it to the loiva to have, and let the malva keep the difference. But it's not to understand that we're allowed to completely sell it, and therefore we have a legitimate question that we're allowed to completely sell all of his items. How do we have a concept of siddur? Answers the Gemara: if we're going to try to say this type of opinion according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's never going to be a situation where we're going to start evaluating, is this an item that this person, according to his stature, needs? Because Damar Abaya, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Yishmael, Rav Akiva, Kula Yisrael, Kla Yisrael, B'nai Malachim, all of Kla Yisrael are B'nai Malachim. And since all of Kla Yisrael are B'nai Malachim, there's no such a thing that it's up to his status. It's not up to his status. Our status is very great. Where do we see that all of these Tanoim follow this opinion? Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Tanan. The Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Shabbos regarding certain food items that may or may not be muksa. Says the Mishnah, lo yas haluf. Luf is muksa. Beans are muksa. Because raw beans are not edible. They can only be eaten by being cooked. And the Shabbos, we're obviously not allowed to cook. Vlayas achardel. A mustard is, mustard seeds are muksa, because they can only be eaten if they're ground. On the Shabbos, we're obviously not allowed to grind the muksa. Rav Shimon Gamliel matab aluf. He says that every luf, beans are never muksa. They shemach lovin. They could be given to ravens as food. And even though only typically wealthy people had these types of birds as pets, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, kol bnei Yisrael melachim. Rav Shimon, where do we see Rav Shimon considers everybody in Klal Yisrael like a ben melech? The Tanan. B'nei melachim, the halach is on Shabbos, one may not put on medicine, unless it's a situation of b'kuach nefesh. Because it's a gzeiros chazal of schikas ha'mamonim. It will allow you to put on medicine, you may actually make medicine. So the Mishnah says, b'nei melachim, sochen shem v'rad al-gabim ha'kaseim, princes could put on their wounds rose oil, b'shabbos. She came back and l'suv b'chol, because by them it's not a refuah. They're always applying rose oil on their bodies. Rav Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim heim. All of Kol Yisrael considered melachim, and any Jew therefore could use rose oil on Shabbos. Rav Yishmael, Rav Akiva, the Tanan, Tanya, Hareisha, Nosh by Elv Zuz. If somebody was collecting 1,000 Zuz. The love is but it's the best main mana, and the wife is wearing a very expensive suit. Mafshit naisme mena, we take the suit away from him. Or mabish naisa utzla ruyaloi, we buy him a suit that's befitting according to his stature. However, v'tar m'shem r'shmol, v'tar m'shem r'kiva, kol Yisrael ruyaloi utzla. Every Jew is a ben melech, and he's worthy of wearing the most expensive clothing. So the Sfarim explain, now that we've identified Klal Yisrael as b'nei melachim, the Mesfarim explained that there are two types of people that are in the household of a king. There are avodim, and there are princes, bonim, children of the king. They explained the difference between an eved and a prince is a servant works for the king all of the time, 24/7. A prince works for the king only, doesn't work for the king all the time, but he's always a prince. That's what the Sfarim says, Klal Yisrael. We are Bonim Lamakim. Kol Yisrael B'nei Melochim, we're the children of the Melech Malchi HaMelochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the halacha is that even if there are lapses and we aren't serving Hashem all of the time, we're still Bonim Lamakim. And with this, the Sfarim explained, we could understand a famous Zohar. The Zohar speaks about people on the Yom Narom, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that in their entire tefillah is just asking, have. We need panosa, we need health, we need shidduchim for our children. They just ask for their own personal needs. And the pashup shot in the Zohar is that it is inappropriate behavior. Our tefillah should be for kvod shemayim. However, I saw that the Sfarim, based on our Gemara and a Moshul, explain why it's not inappropriate. They explain there was a king that had two people working for him. One he sent far away to manage his business, and one he kept close by. The one he sent far away, particularly in ancient times where the modes of communication were more difficult, the one he sent far away, he had to give him a lot of money before he sent him away, because he needed the money to survive wherever he would be. However, the one who remained near him, he didn't have to give him so much money, because he could always come close and ask what he needs. Say the Mefarshim. The Zohar says that the person who constantly asks Kadosh Baruch Hu for his own personal needs is called a kelev. The word klovim, they explain, stands for Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim. We are the B'nei Malachim. We're not like the Umas Ha'olam who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent far away. Rather, we are always close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because we're close, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives us as much as we need and waits for us to ask for what we need. And therefore, on the contrary, on the Yom Ha'Ra'im, we are allowed to ask have, because we are the B'nei Malachim that the king keeps close by. Ask the Gemara, Ulamai the Sakadat Mikara, according to the Havamina, to Yavle Maid Chazale, we give him what he needs, Umazina Maid Chazale, and we sell what he doesn't need, and we keep, and we give the Malvin a difference, Bishla Makavakesas, when it comes to linen, Chazale the Baina Baini, we could sell the expensive linen and buy inexpensive linen and let the malvah keep the difference. How could you sell a plow? What are we going to sell the plow? What difference? Answers the Gemara, Amra, Barapapa, Machrisha the Kaspa. We're talking about a silver plow. And Tosfos asks, who has a silver plow? Why would you take a silver plow? That's why Tosfos says the Machrisha here doesn't mean a plow. As we said at the beginning of this year, rather, machresha here means a scraper that they used in the bathhouse, and the person had a silver one, and the Gemara in the Havamina assumed he should sell the silver one and buy a regular one and give the difference in value to the malva. But now says the Gemara, Rav Shim Gamliel's opinion is, call you Saul, b'nei Malachim heim, and they're all entitled to have the best.